What I want to do tonight as we're kind of thinking about this, the only kind of two references there is to being priests is found in Peter. Okay? And that's where we're going to read tonight. The word priest, by the way, let me say, is used dozens and dozens of times in the Bible. But when you come to the New Testament, in reference to the subject that we're looking at tonight, there really are only two references, and they're both in the same little section of the Bible, and it's 1 Peter and it's chapter 2. So we'll just read these verses tonight. Let's read from verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones, are being built up into as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the corner and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercies. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And that really is a total reference to Christians as being priests in the New Testament. You would search, I think, with great difficulty to find any other direct references to the Christian community as being a priesthood, and to the individual Christian as being a priest. So there's a whole lot of mentions of priests and priesthoods throughout the Bible, but we really only have a couple that refer particularly to us. So what does it mean for you, and what does it mean for me, to be called a priest? Maybe one of the questions we want to ask ourselves tonight is this, and I'm looking at the young folks in here. Do you think of yourself as a priest? Does it occur to you that that's exactly what you are? A priest. Now, of course, that's a kind of a difficult idea to get your head round, because when you start with this blank piece of paper and you start now thinking about a priest, you then begin to put down what you know a priest to be like. Okay? And what I want to do tonight, just kind of while we're chatting to each other, is to ask this question. What did Peter think a priest was like? What were priests like in Peter's day? So when Peter's writing this, like you, he might have a blank sheet of paper. And he now is beginning to describe and to think about a priest. So one of the questions we want to ask again tonight is, what were priests like in Peter's day? Because they had priests then. So what were they like in Peter's day? What was Peter's blueprint for being a priest? How did they behave? What was their function and their purpose? Now, in Peter's day, and those of you sitting here tonight, I guess even the youngest of you, will know that when Jesus quarreled, he quarreled almost exclusively with the priests. Almost all his arguments and discussion and dissension almost was exclusively to do with what was called the priestly people, the folks that had been, by their lineage, by their background, their history, had been functioning as priests, Levites, priests. And they were then functioning at the time of Peter. So in Peter's mind, if he's now thinking about a priest, he might well think about, for example, the priest that went down the road and he saw a man who had been attacked by robbers. And he might have in his mind that this is what a priest would do. A priest would walk by on the other side. Or he might think, for example, about a Levite, again, which would be of the priestly family. And he would imagine this exact same story. And he would see this man injured, lying at the wayside, and the Levite would go past. And he again would not interfere, he would not get involved with the rough and tumble of daily life. He would walk past on the other side. Now, if Peter was to judge that as being a priest, then the question would be, what kind of priest would Peter be? What kind of priest did Peter envisage when he's now writing these verses to us and saying to us that we too would be a priesthood? That's a group or an assembly of priests, or priests in an individual way. The question would be asking, when Peter now is thinking about a priest, what does he think about? Does he think about these individuals that walk past on the other side to avoid getting involved in the daily run of the mill sort of situations? So the question is, what do you think about? If you're a priest, what do you imagine that your role is? If you don't think of yourself as a priest, and have never thought of yourself as a priest, but you're going to leave this hall tonight being a priest, how different will you be when you leave the hall? Will anybody notice? Will you look different? Will suddenly things transform? Will you be different tonight if, for the first time, you understand that you are a priest? How will things change for you? So what was Peter's blueprint? How did he understand how a priest functions? Well, he wouldn't be any different from you and I. He would have to get the information from somewhere. So where would he get it? Now, you may think that's a rhetorical question, but I wouldn't have objected if somebody had told me where they had got the information from. But because we don't tend to shout out the answers at these kind of meetings, he would have got it from the same place as you will. And I will. He'll just turn up his Bible and he'll discover the role and the function of priests. He will discover their calling and what they needed to be qualified to become a priest or a Levite, what they needed to do or to be involved in the intricate workings of the temple, for example. And not everybody could be a priest, and not anybody could be a priest. You actually had to qualify to be a priest. And in the Old Testament, you qualified by birth. Okay? You qualified by birth. You had to belong to the priestly family. You had to belong to the tribe of Levi. And simply by being born into the tribe of Levi, you qualified to be a priest. And you now become someone who was very, very exclusive. You were going to be functioning and living in a way that was totally different from all your brothers and sisters in the other tribes. You were going to be very, very different to them. They would go out and get their hands dirty, and they would involve themselves in a whole lot of secular stuff. But the Levites or the priestly family, they exclusively were involved in the things to do with the temple. Way back at the very beginning, they would have assembled the movable house, the portable temple, and they would have assembled that, and they'd have been responsible for carrying it about and the functions of it. So in Peter's head, as he's now writing about a priesthood, Peter will have very clearly in his mind two kind of people who were priests. One is, as he would look back in his Bible, because he would have the same Bible as you and I have, and he would look back and he would see what a priest or how a priest functioned in the Old Testament. And he would also, in his current way, as he's now living his life as a young man in Galilee, he would see how the priests operated there. And he would see the great distinction and difference between the two kind of priests. So in his mind, a priest could have been somebody like somebody in the Old Testament, or it could have been like the folks that he saw wandering about the streets of Galilee or Jerusalem. These folks that he imagined were particularly holy people. How do I know how they functioned in the Old Testament, Peter would be saying, but how do they function in the New Testament? How does a Christian priest function? Are they a whole lot different to what an Old Testament priest would be, or a Jewish priest would be? Are they a whole lot different? In some ways, the answer to that question is yes. In other sides, the answer to that question is no. They would not necessarily be a whole lot different to priests. Let me start with the first similarity. They were priests by birth. Okay? Before you, before I can become a priest, it requires us to be born into God's family. It requires new birth. It requires that there will be a point in time in our own personal history when we will have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you eventually become a priest? Or do you immediately become a priest? Well, again, here's the answer to my own question. You immediately become a priest. Okay, so you may be now beginning to think, I don't know if I like the idea of this. I'm quite happy to be a Christian, and I'm quite happy to know that I'm going to heaven, and I'm quite happy to know that my sins have been forgiven. But hey, I don't like this idea of being a priest. This sounds way too complicated. It seems almost as if I'm now going to be required to be a different kind of person to the kind of person I maybe would imagine that a Christian was. This might sound a wee bit, you're thinking, a little bit over the top. Me, a priest? Well, in Peter, he now describes the Christian community as priests. And he does this in two ways. And this is kind of important that we understand this. He does it in two ways. He describes every Christian as a living stone that now is being built into a temple that will honor God and praise God and will worship God. So he likens every stone, every individual stone, to that of being an individual priest. So in the Church of God today, we are collectively a priesthood. So in here tonight, this is the Church of God, here at this moment in time, here in Paisley, believers in the Lord Jesus, and we're here now together. And together, we constitute a priesthood. Now, if you were to look up the Bible dictionary for the definition of a priesthood, it would say this, at least it does in Young's Concordance, that we are an assembly of priests. Okay? A gathering of together of priests. So individually, we are priests. And collectively, we are an assembly of priests. Okay? Now, that's what it says in here. I'm not now teaching you. I'm giving you information that is different to what Peter is talking about here in this little section. Now, there is a word that almost always exclusively is added to or is put in front of the word priest. And I'm not now thinking of the word high, because that is sometimes a word that we might think about a priest, a high priest. But one of the words that's used most often when we now think about the word priest is the word holy. Okay? That almost always defines a priest. Almost invariably, a priest is seen to be a holy person. Okay? Now, that for some of us is a step too far, you know, to be thought of as a holy person. Because we might imagine, or you might have in your mind, an imagination of what a holy person is like. And you maybe think, well, I kind of don't like, you know, some of the holy people that I do know. They're kind of otherworldly. They don't seem to live in this world. They seem to be totally different, unaware of what's all going on round about them. And they seem to be already in heaven while they're living on earth. And it might be that we can't think that a priest would be functioning here. Holy. Well, it's interesting to discover what the word holy means. If your idea of the word holy is being someone that is distant and seems to be of no practical use and seems to be otherworldly, that's a way of living in a whole different sphere, then you've got it wrong. Because it doesn't really mean that. It means holy in the sense of your usefulness or your use. Okay? Holy has the idea of being separate or sanctified. That's the idea of holy. So a priest would be holy or separate or sanctified. That is, a priest would be someone that is going to be used for a special purpose. Okay? Now it's interesting when you think about that. If you're reading, for example, in Corinthians and some of the other scriptures where you get some kind of idea, there is a reference in Corinthians where it speaks about in a great house, you get vessels made of gold and silver and precious stones. And it says you also get vessels that are made of wood. Okay, so you've now got the picture. Vessels made of gold and silver and precious stones and vessels made of wood. Now here's the question. Which of these would be holy? In case you're struggling with the answer is all of them. Is the answer. You might think, well, surely not the wooden ones. Well, you go and buy and find out, research that chapter in Corinthians and read it for yourself, and you'll discover that they can all be made holy, including the vessels that are made of wood. Now, why do I introduce that into our thinking? It's for this reason. If you see yourself only as a vessel made of wood, and not a vessel made of gold or silver or precious stone, you may exclude yourself from usefulness in God's service. You may think the only people that can be priests are those that are made, if you can get the idea that's used, that Paul uses, that are those that are made of gold and silver and precious stone. You may say, well, these people are useful, but I'm made of wood. I'm not useful. I can't reach the standard that these people are. I don't have what they have, so I can't be a priest. Well, you'd be wrong, because what it says as you read through the book of when you read through this little section in Corinthians is this: that both the precious and the wooden can be dedicated and sanctified for holy purposes. So if tonight you're feeling wooden as opposed to precious, let me say, either qualifies to be used in the service of God. All that requires is for you to be clean or to be sanctified, to be made holy. And whether you're wooden or whether you're precious, then we can be used in the service of God. Now that's kind of important when we are thinking about priesthood issues. Because some of us will think we are not distinguished enough, or important enough, or haven't reached a knowledge, a level of knowledge, and so therefore we are excluded from things that priests would do. Well, according to the writings in the New Testament, if you think that way, then you need to correct your thinking. Okay? So if you tonight are a believer in the Lord Jesus, and irrespective of what you think your talent is or your ability is, you are a priest. And God has called you to be a priest. When you go way back in your Old Testament to the tribes, they were called to be, they were separate from all their other brothers and sisters in other places. And they were called. And they had this specific role in as priests. Now you today, and I today, have now got a similar function. We have been called to be priests. Okay? Now that's not something that you can volunteer for. If you were born in the family, the Levite family, for example, in the Old Testament, you didn't have a choice. You didn't volunteer to become a priest. Because you were born in that family, then that's what you did. That's what you were. And like it or lump it, I suppose, at least I guess it might have been like that, you were a priest. And if you weren't and wanted to be a priest, you couldn't be. So we're now looking at something that has a direct calling from God. All right? Something that God appoints. It's exclusive. It's got to do with birth. And we've already established that if you're born again, if you are now new in Christ Jesus, you now qualify to be a priest. So we now have priests that are individual. Okay? Individual priests. Okay? How would they function? Do they only function in church settings? Do you have to come to the meeting to be in this hall to be a priest? Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. There are two kinds of priesthood. There's the priesthood, as you'd say, when we are all together. But as individual priests, we function individually. So where do we function individually? Guess where we function individually as priests. If it's not in here, where might it be? Well, the answer is it's out there. That's where we would function as holy men and holy women, as individuals. We would be functioning and living our holy life as priests out there. At college, at school, at the workplace, at the kitchen sink, wherever it is that we are functioning. That's where we would be functioning as individual priests. Now remember the illustration that we used of the priest and the Levite. Again, both individuals called by God. They're now out there. They're not now in the temple. They're out there. And how did they function? When they met the nitty gritty. When they came involved with real life. What did they do? Well, they passed by on the other side. Why? Well, they didn't want to get dirty. They didn't want to become unholy. For them, they thought, to become priests that would get involved in this kind of issue would, for them, make them unclean. So why do you think the parable was told? Yes, why the parable was told? It was to show that they had got it wrong. It was to show that they had misunderstood. That functioning for God in this world as an individual meant sometimes that you did get your hands dirty, that you did get involved in the issues of life, but it was in these issues that you showed your godliness. It was in these issues that you showed your calling and your special ability of a priest to function with in the common round of life. And so there's the two ideas that Peter speaks about here. Is one, we are individual priests. You, me tonight, are a priest. As a Christian, we've now become holy, dedicated by God, by His Holy Spirit, and He now has a very real function for us in our everyday life. We are holy. Now the question we ask is that a holiness that can be observed? Or is it a holiness that's simply theological? It's just in our heads. It's an idea. Well, no. We need to understand again that if Peter was looking at the priests in his everyday life, they were distinctive. You would recognize a priest. All right, you would recognize him by his clothing. But the point I'm trying to make is they would be recognizable. There would be certain aspects of a priest that you wouldn't expect them to be doing. Their behavior, for example, would have to be different from the common or garden individual. And we're now looking at this now as Peter would speak about the individual priest. It's not that we now suddenly go and get a black suit and a white roller collar and look different. But what we need to understand here and what Peter is teaching is this, is that priests will be seen to be priests. Now, why would that be? Well, we've again been over it. Because they now have become holy. And they've been separated for a special purpose. Okay? So you've got two wooden tumblers, two wooden cups, two of them. Both look exactly the same. Okay? So you take one and you stick all your odds and ends into it. It becomes one of these kind of cups in your house that everything and anything goes into. That's what would be called a cup for everyday use. But you might have another cup which is exactly the same, of the same value, but you say that's going to be used for something special. And you might say to your kids or whatever, and I'm using a kind of a very simple illustration. This is to be used specially. This is only going to be used for this particular purpose. Now it's that distinguishes the holy from the unholy. Not the value, but the use. Now I hope that's something that we can kind of understand tonight. So each one of us now, irrespective of our value, have been set aside for a particular use. Now Peter tells us what that use is. And he goes on to tell us that we're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So who is it that we are now serving? Well, we're serving God. He's got a role for us and a purpose for us. And as priests, our call is to serve God. Now again, if in your mind a priest is somebody who has removed themselves from everyday run-of-the-mill work, and is someone that stays in a secluded kind of place and only comes out on Saturdays or Sundays and does sort of religious kind of things and then goes away back out of the road again, then you've kind of got it wrong. Because that is not what Peter is talking about. Okay? This is people who are living their lives out in the open, in the streets, but they are holy people, and they are touching men and women's lives and making a difference. And who is it they're glorifying when they do this? Out in the street, that is. Well, there's God. Because they're serving God out in the street. I am, you are, we are, when we are out there in the streets. Now here's the other part of the same question. When we are in here, who are we serving? We're serving God. It says that here as you look through these just very brief accounts. Out there we're serving God, in front of the people, and here we're serving God. So how do we serve God in here? Do we have a particular role? Do you have a particular role? Do I have a particular role? When we here meet as a holy priesthood this time, that is an assembly or an assembling of priests. What is my role? Do I contribute? Well, the answer is yes, you do. You might think, well, I don't have a whole lot to contribute. the issue isn't how much you've got. The issue is that you do contribute. And as a priest, part of the assembly of priests, your job now is as a witness and to glorify God. In other words, when we meet in here as an assembly of priests, God should be pleased at what he sees and what he hears. He should see all his people, his holy priests, functioning and serving him, and he ought to get pleasure at what he sees happening in this building. So there's out there where he gets pleasure, and there's in here as well when we function as a priesthood, as an assembly of priests, that God should get pleasure at what he sees. Now that's kind of important that we think about that. So how do I prepare myself when I come to meet with the Christians here in Bethany? How do you prepare when you come, for example, on a Sunday morning? We'll just use that as an example. Because when you enter this building and you're now sitting down here with all your brothers and sisters, you now are part, as an individual, you're also part of a collective, and that you are part now of a holy priesthood. And what do they do? Well, Peter tells us what they do is, we are now a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have a role now of explaining and expressing to onlookers. And it's interesting that when we look through our Bibles, some of the onlookers are angels. Possibly notice that. Some of the onlookers at what we are doing as a church, as an assembly of priests, is viewed by the angels. Obviously, they're viewed by ordinary folks as well, but it's certainly taught in scriptures that we, as we witness together and gather together, are being observed, maybe in a way that we never ever kind of imagined before. Now, I kind of want to leave these ideas with you tonight so that you can take them away and kind of think over them yourself. What I want to leave with you tonight, among the things I want to leave with you tonight, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, being a priest is not optional. Okay? It's not optional. It's what you are. If you're a priest, then you will have functions that you are expected to carry out. You have a role in life that you need to play. Okay? And you need to understand that out there and in here, you have a role in life that you require to play. And the reason I say that is, if you go back again into your Old Testament, you will notice that the priests and the Levites had a particular role to play. And if they didn't function, then the nation deteriorated. So if the priests are not functioning, then nothing else functions. So to be a priest is a big deal issue. Now I know I'm speaking to some young folks tonight. I know that. And I know I'm speaking to folks that are not exactly in the first bloom of youth. And I know all of that. But I wonder if you're like me. And maybe it's only tonight, in my case this week, that I've really thought seriously again about my role as a priest. Being a Christian, I'm happy with that. I can kind of handle that, being a Christian. Okay? It's difficult, but I kind of handle it. Being a disciple, and I think we looked at that at one time in another evening that was here. Some of us struggle with the idea of being a disciple, because we think, well, that's something that I might be someday, but it's not something I want to be just now. I just want to be a Christian. Well, discipleship isn't an option. And then we think about being a priest, and again we think, well, this is getting way, this is too heavy, this is not something for me. But what we have to understand is that whether we like it or not, it's not an option. Now, if you were to go way back to the Old Testament and to look at the priests and how they dressed, you might imagine that the only folks that dressed as priests were adults. Well, you'd be wrong. The young folks did as well. Though they didn't function necessarily in the real world, what they were was learning and training to be priests. That is now in the Old Testament. There was a training program. They had to be taught the various aspects of being a priest. And all of them had functions. So I think I am saying this tonight, that from the youngest to the oldest, we are priests. It's not an age issue. I hate to say it too, in the New Testament, it's not a gender issue. There are roles for us to play, and there's no argument about that. But whether you're a brother or a sister, you're a priest. Your life has been set aside by God, and He has a role and a function for you to play. And when you read this little section about the priesthood and Peter, I get a lovely picture of what God is wanting to do in this world. He's building a temple which is being created out of you and I as individual stones. And He's building something that should be beautiful and impressive and evangelical, in the sense that it speaks out of God's glory and God's majesty, and is attractive, or is seen to be attractive by the secular, when they see God's people living in a way that is pleasing to God. It's something that brings God great pleasure. And I just want to encourage you, as I'm now trying to encourage my own heart, that I can see my role and function in life. Derek Watt, you're a priest. You're a holy man. You've been set apart. You have a particular role and function. And you folks tonight, along with me, who are believers in Jesus, you're priests. God has separated you. He's made you holy. And He has a special purpose in your life. And that gives us a whole new sense of value as we now live our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus. We're not just ordinary Joe Bloggs. We're special. We're priests. God's hand is on us. And He now wants to use us to serve Him. Let's just pray and ask God to bless His word to us tonight. Father, we just pray that there has been an understanding tonight from Your word, and this consideration of us being priests, that we might discover, maybe just for the first time tonight, what it is You're looking for us to be and to become. And we just pray that You would bless Your people, that as the priests of old would live their lives and intermingle with the community and bless them, so that we might be among those who, as we intermingle with our communities, bring blessing, bring You into their presence, that people might know something of Your peace and Your joy and Your salvation. And as we meet together as a priesthood of believers, that Your heart might rejoice as we praise You and as we bring glory to the name of Your Son, our Lord Jesus. Our prayers are in His name. Amen.